Resurrected, seeketh, dixit, alleluia. The Lord is truly risen, alleluia. Rejoice on this Easter Sunday. Rejoice because we are Christians. The Christian faith has many dogmas, but the central dogma that makes sense of everything else is today, that Christ rose. A language needs verbs, adjectives, and nouns. A language without nouns makes no sense. Christ and no resurrection makes nonsense. If he didn't rise on the third day, then all was a waste of time. But he did. Nouns belong to a language, and a noun tells you something, some person, or place. Place, person, or thing. What is the place, person, or thing concerning this dogma of the Lord rising? Well, firstly, it's all about Jesus Christ, the second person of God, man and God, human and divine. And being God, he has power over death and brought himself back to life, as he foretold early Sunday morning. The place, Jerusalem, Jaira Salem, a hill, an ancient hill that belonged to the kings, where God would provide. That's what Jaira means. Jaira, God in time would provide a saviour for humanity, who would die and then rise again. Person, place and thing. The thing is the candle. The candle is the symbol of Christ risen from the dead. Light dispels darkness. Life dispels death. Now no longer does death hold its ugly sin or poison. We Christians possess not an elixir for life, but an antidote to death. An antidote, because Christ has come back from death and promised us eternal life. And that's why this candle here has five nails or studs in it, because there are five glorious, not hideous, glorious wounds in the body of Christ. When our Lord appeared over 50 days to multitudes in five appearances and showed them his five wounds, there's a play here on the number five, the wounds were not hideous. When Christ came back to life, he didn't come back in the body he was given by his Virgin Mother, not the body that played soccer or whatever at Nazareth, not the body that was tormented by the soldiers. He came back in a glorious body. Why then have the wounds? Would not the wounds be a sign of ugliness? Certainly in most people, our scars, our wounds from our childhood, whatever, an accident, are not pleasant. People pity us, look for them. But why did Christ come with the wounds? Because the wounds are the sign of his victory. They're triumphal wounds. Not ugly, but glorious wounds. Mystics who have seen visions of God, angels, saints, and sometimes demons, all attest, without doubt, that when the devil wants to trick or deceive a holy person and takes on the image of Christ or Mary or one of the saints, the image is perfect. But when they take on the image of Christ, the demon can look like Jesus, speak like Jesus, have the hair of Jesus and so forth, but never, ever has a Satan, a fallen angel, deceived someone by taking on the appearance of Christ with the five wounds. Never. And that's how the mystics can discern a false apparition of the Lord from a true one. Satan will never imitate or emulate those wounds, because those wounds are the sign of his defeat. He's been defeated, conquered. Sin, death, suffering has now all gone, because Christ took away our sins. He rose from the dead and he's taught us how to cope with suffering. That's what those five wounds illustrate and indicate to us, that now they're a sign of hope Those five glorious rooms give us 50 days of rejoicing in Easter time until the church is born on Pentecost Sunday. Five glorious rooms in which we enter in our moments of sadness and sorrow. And somehow he transforms those moments to ones of joy, peace and contentment. Do you imagine the Mother of God looking at him in a glorious, resplendent state, glowing with light and grace? And those wounds would be almost perfect to look at, glorious, almost to see straight through them, as if Thomas tries to put his hand into our Lord's side and his fingers into the hands. Because they draw us to him, because he drew all humanity to his divinity through them on the cross. We rejoice at Easter time because we are a people now liberated from eternal death. We don't understand in our modern era the great revelation of the Christian faith 2,000 odd years ago. Until then, death was the final word. The great patriarchs, Adam, Noah, Moses, Abraham, David, all were sealed in Sheol, the underworld. Heaven was barred. A curse had been given. A bond lay on the gates of heaven. That bond was severed by the wounds of Jesus. He took upon himself the curse of Adam, and as the new man broke that curse, conquered eternal sin, original sin, and all sin, and opened the doors of paradise. And all of those in the underworld were taken to heaven, and then for us, as he appeared to them, in multitude ways, in vast numbers over 50 days, he appears to us and says, I am risen. Be faithful to me, and where I go, you too shall come. Not just as a soul at death, but with a glorious body in eternal life. And for that reason, the key word, the central word in Easter time is Alleluia, a Hebrew word meaning praise to him as the Lord. The Lord of life, the Lord of light, and the Lord of grace. Rejoice. Thou, you have been promised eternal life. Heaven awaits us, and with that, a glorious body. And when our bodies seem to fail us, when we get hungry and tired, when the children are cranky and fed up, when the back hurts, the Alzheimer's bothers us, or maybe bothers others, when all those things just overwhelm us, remember, Alleluia. He has risen. He has risen and promised us. Be faithful, as was John. Be faithful to the cross, and one day, on the third day, you too shall rise and be glorious with me. Return to our Mother, our Heavenly Mother, as our Lord must have appeared to her early that morning and consoled her. At difficult times we seek her consolation, that we might not lose sight of the person, the place, and the thing of this Easter season. Christ is risen for us. Let us rejoice and let us praise him often in this season with the great word, Alleluia.
Praise to Jesus Christ.